Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Ryan, you've done a great job this morning. You're just getting better and better all the time. We appreciate your ministry. It is a ministry, and we appreciate it very much. Every one of you in here, sitting in here, you have a ministry. It may not be as noticeable as others, but in the eyes of man, but it is in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? He sees everything that you do and everything that you your heart is upon, and you are making a difference, an eternal difference. So keep up the good work. Amen? Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think it's neat that it's just family here tonight. That way we can just be relaxed and just receive whatever the Lord would have for us. Amen? So don't be discouraged. We have different services at different times, and God knows all about it. Amen? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. Glory. All right, 2 Timothy 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Say, I am what I am, by the will of God. Amen? The world hadn't got anything to do with it. The devil hasn't got anything to do with it. It's the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse number 5, what brings Paul joy? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the without hypocrisy, the sincere faith that is in thee, why is it in Timothy? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. But here's what you need to do. Here's what we need to do. Verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up, that you flame the fire, that you re-enkindle the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. So tonight, I want us to be in a place and a position that we recognize and realize that inside of us is God's unspeakable gift. God's unspeakable gift. Now, that gift is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, being revealed by the Spirit of God. And that unspeakable gift needs a voice. That's you and I tonight. Amen? You are the voice of the unspeakable gift, the gift of God, the voice that wants to speak divine secrets into a lost and dying world, causing people to forever be changed. And so tonight I want you to know that inside of you, it's things of God, mysteries of God, giftings of God, plan of God, words of God, destiny that you and I have not touched as of yet. And so we see here, we're going to, as we go into this scripture, I want you to write these three things on the table of your heart. You and I were to flame the fire of God that consumes us. There's a flame of fire that consumes you. That gets you in the place where you're changed. There's a changing fire. There's a consuming fire of God, and when you get into the consuming fire of God, it changes you, a changing fire of God. And when you get into a place where you're changed, then you're ready for the challenging fire of God. And when you get into the place where you're being challenged by God, guess what? That's when the will of God comes to the earth. That's when the lost can be saved, the sick can be healed, the bound can be made free, all the workings of Jesus. Amen? And so what we've got to recognize and realize, we need to stop looking outwardly and we need to start looking inwardly. We all quote the scripture. We know it. 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in you than anything in the world. But He's in you. You don't have to look to man. You don't have to look anywhere. You just have to look within Jesus Christ that is in you. Amen. So tonight I want us to do what the Apostle Paul said. I want us to flame the fire. I want us to recognize that we can stir up what is inside of us. And we can be in a place where we're on fire for God. I got tickled in my spirit. I had just a few minutes talking to Brother Corey. And he made a statement that I was going to open up with. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. He had this statement that he always said. And he said, I pray till I get on fire for God. And when I get on fire for God, people come watch me burn. If we want a crowd, if we want to influence, come on, be on fire. Be on fire. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. We need to fan this fire. We need to stop looking for gimmicks or external ideals to reach the lost and to reach this community. It's going to be reached when you and I, when we decide to burn with the Spirit of God. Amen. When we decide to allow God to get into our life. And so I want you to see, and the young man Timothy here, how that he had been touched by the ministry that Paul had added to from his very early childhood, from Lois and Eunice. Paul built on that. I want you to build on what's in you. Amen. You have stuff in you that was put in you. By other people, the giftings of God, the Word of God, the presence of God, even though they might not even know what they were doing, they placed some truths in you. And when you flame the fire, when you kindle those things and you burn away everything else, then revelation of who you really are and what you can do in Jesus starts coming out. Amen? So let's look at this. Let's break this down. Hold your place here and we'll come back. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verses 28 and 29. And let's look at this consuming fire of God, this fire that will get rid of self, get rid of fear, get rid of anxiety, get rid of anger, get rid of envy, jealousy, strife, all the things that would hinder us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. This is what the Apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrew church, what he said. He said, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Tonight, you're a part of that kingdom, amen? The kingdom of God that cannot be moved because it's on the rock of Jesus Christ. And because your life is founded upon Him, He said it didn't matter what kind of storms come your way, you're not going to fall. Amen? It can beat against your life, and sometimes it looks like and it feels like, oh my goodness. But Jesus promised you. It didn't matter what kind of storm beat on you, when you was on Him, your house was going to abide. It was going to stay. Amen. And that's a message to a world who's on shifting sand. They're being tossed to and fro. They don't have the truth. But you've got this kingdom that cannot be moved. It says, let us have grace. And you and I, we have got to learn in everyday life to tap into the grace of God. We know that God's grace, that it abounds, that God's grace is sufficient. But we've got to learn how to tap into that when the hard times get hard. When the tough times get tough, when the enemy's moving and darkness is all around, we need to get into a place and a position where we say, Lord, I need to pull from that grace. Amen? And the only way we can do that is we can't let the situations of life pull us away from the cold. Come on, we've all been camping. We've all had a fire. You leave a fire alone, what happens to it? It goes out. You and I, we need each other. I need to be as close to you as I can be. You need to be close to each other as you can be, because the more that you kindle wood and the more that you keep it close together, the hotter it burns, the more effective it is. You see, as you and I step into this consuming fire of God, things start coming off our life. And when things start coming off our life, then we start getting separated. And so we've got to let the Spirit of God bring us back together, because as somebody starts burning, they all of a sudden, they don't see things the way they did just a little bit ago. And if we're not careful, if we don't stay with them and allow the Lord to burn that off our life, we'll be over here And the fire is being, it's being stoked over here. But God don't want it that way. He wants you and I continually to be pulled together in every thought, every word, every direction. And so Brother Larry and I had a conversation yesterday sitting on this altar. We feel the same thing. Come on, you and I, we feel the same thing. God's on His move. He has a plan. He has an agenda. And His movements, it's slow but productive. His movement, never one lick ever falls short. Amen? So we got that confidence. But notice what He says. He says, this grace allows us to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Your God, my God, is a consuming fire. The Apostle Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 4, somewhere down about verse 24, and he leaves off the last part of that verse where it says, for our God is a consuming fire, and He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. And so the consuming fire, it burns away the things that tries to get your and I attention that makes God jealous. The things of the flesh, the old man, all of those things that would pull us away from what God would have for us. Now see, we started off this message that Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, I want you to stir up. I want you to fan the flames upon the gift that is in you. See, that gift come upon him when Paul laid his hands on him. There's a transference. When people of faith lay their hands on other believers, things happen. Giftings are gave. And so when every time you and I lay hands on the sick, we're giving out a gift of what? Of the promise that God would bring healing. Amen. Bring deliverance, bring victory. So inside of Timothy, here he is. Here's a young man that we know from Scripture that he has a situation where a spirit of fear is trying to get on him. And so Paul tells him, said, I want you to kindle up what is inside of you, and I want you to know that greater one is inside of you. Tonight, you and I will never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish if we don't face our fear. We've all got different things that we're anxious about or we're nervous about or we don't completely understand. But if we'll step into the consuming fire of God, guess what? Fire will meet fire. And all of those things will be by the wayside. Now, I want you to think about this. History, church tradition tells us, church history tells us that Timothy, as he heard the teachings of Paul and he grew up and he became an evangelist and then he became a pastor. And in the latter part of his life, he became a bishop over the church. And he went from being an individual where Paul says, I want you to stir up and recognize that you are not, you don't have to be in the place of fear, that he stood in front of a crowd who was trying to bring idol worship into the church. And he stood before the whole town and he said, this is wrong. And he stood there in the midst of them and in the face of that, and he stood up for Jesus Christ and they beat him to death. But there was no spirit of fear, no timidity, because why? He wanted those people to know that the Jesus that died for him was greater than what they could do in the natural. And there's going to be people who talk about you and I. There's going to be people that don't understand, and they're going to come against the work of God. They're not coming against you. They're not coming against me, though it's the way it seems. They're coming against the one that you're serving, the one that you're believing in. They're coming against Him. But God's going to give you grace, and there is a spirit of power, of an anointing that will come upon you and I that will enable us to stand against whatever the devil's trying to stop. But he will not stop the work of God. Amen? Now, that's what happens when you kindle what's inside of you. Just see how Timothy grown and how he changed. He stepped into the consuming fire and it burned away the fear. Now, God needs you and I to step up and to do what we don't like to do. What's uncomfortable to us. What is, it's inconvenient. I'm sorry. It is. All of these things. We've got a life, but we've got to recognize that the life in Jesus comes first. Amen. And so here this consuming fire is. Now let's talk about that consuming fire just a little bit. We've talked about how it changed Timothy. Let's talk about what happened to Peter. Now, Peter, another great example of being in a situation where as he warmed his hands by the enemy's fire, he couldn't even stand up for Jesus. Remember, you got two different damsels, and they say, "Hey, you're with Jesus." No. I just come in here to warm my hands. I'm a little cold. It's what happens when we get in the world's fire instead of the fire of the Lord. Amen. And he denied even knowing Jesus, and you know the story very well. But all of a sudden, when he got back among the brothers and the sisters, because Jesus said, "I want you to go and tell Peter." See, you and I, we need to go tell some people. We need to go tell them that no matter what they've done, where they fall from, God loves them. God loves them, and He wants to put a fire in their belly. He wants to put a fire in their spirit. He wants to cause them to be awakened from darkness and from lies and from the pull of the flesh. Come on, people. They're out there in the world tonight, and they're being pulled with the flesh, and they don't know how to step away from that. But you and I, we know a fire that will consume that, and if they will allow that fire to come all over them, it will change them. Amen? So let's look at this fire. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Now, you see a group of 120 people, Peter being one of them. And this 120 people, they've done exactly what Jesus said to do. He said, "I want you to go and wait. I want you to go and tarry until the gift of the promise of the Holy Spirit comes." And he said, "When you're in that place, in that position, tarry and waiting on me," which thank God we don't have to tarry no more because Pentecost has done come. Amen. No more waiting. No more tarrying, because the gift is here. The presence is here. But he told them, "I want you to go there." And so they were in a place and a position where they were fearful for their lives. And so it was easy for them to go get in that upper room, because they didn't want to be out in Jerusalem. And I do not blame them one iota. I wouldn't have wanted to have been there either. But they were in a place where they were being set aside. And in that 10 days, as they were being tried by fire, they got into a place where they were ready. They were ready to be consumed. All the fear was going to be taken away because God was putting a vision in them. And that vision was, by my fire, you're going to step out of this room and you're going to have a message that's going to cause people to be forever changed. See, all of a sudden they got so close to the Lord, these 120, that they got on fire, and the fire jumped off of them and jumped onto 3,000 people. Oh, glory.
Yes.
3,000 people, all of a sudden, they got on fire because the fire of the Spirit of God started coming up out of each one of these as they were allowing the Spirit of God to speak truth, to bring revelation, to bring unction, to bring direction that had never been brought. The start of the church, amen? Revelation was coming. People out in the world, they don't understand the things of the church, but they're going to understand it because you're going to bring it in a way that's not churchy. But it's real. Amen? It's in a way that they can, it's going to be appealing to them. The Apostle Paul said, "I become all things to all men, that by some way, by any means, I might save some." See, we're not going to save people beating them on the head. What worked in the past, thank God for that. But God's doing a new thing. He's working in amongst of a group of people that are, they think differently and they see things differently than any other generation. But God loves them just the same. Amen? All right, so here we are. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as fire." Hallelujah. "Like as fire. And it set upon each of them." Was anybody left out? Nobody was left out. See, for 15 years, the devil had convinced me I was left out. I was left out. I had no part in this. And as long as I believed that lie, that was that's what I had. Because as I think in my heart, so am I. So I believed that lie, and I believed that was for everybody else and had nothing to do with me. But when you and I hear the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When we sit in an anointed place of a corporate anointing and we hear this Word, all of a sudden the lies start being broke off and the anointing starts putting the fire in our belly. And here they are. They're in this place. They've done what God told them to do. He said, "I promise you that the gift of the Father is coming." It's coming. And it's a fire that consumes. It's a fire that changes. It says, verse number 4, and they were all filled, everyone, with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice what happens. Because they started speaking the fire out of their mouth, they started pulling people to them. It says that they all, verse number 6, that every person heard them in their own language. This was a miracle to be able to minister truth to them. And drop down to verse 14. Verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. So here Peter is. I want you to see what happens when the fire of the Spirit of God starts burning inside of us. When we allow ourselves to be stirred, when we fan the flames of the gift that's in us. See, Jesus had done told Peter in Matthew 16 that this gift was in him. He told him. He said, Peter, you've got a revelation. Because I asked, remember he asked Peter, he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, hearing son of the dove. You're blessed because you didn't figure this out on your own. God has revealed it to you. Amen? He brought that revelation to him. And so Jesus told him that, hey, you've got a gifting in you, the gifting of the anointed one, the gifting of Jesus is in you. And he said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell cannot, will not, they shall not prevail against it. Amen. So here Peter didn't know what was in him. Because why? He had to come into the consuming fire and burn off fear. He goes from being afraid of a little damsel girl to he's standing in front of everyone there. The Roman soldiers are out there. The ones who killed Jesus. But all of a sudden, because the fire is in his belly, he stands up and he says what God tells him to say. Now that's a changing fire. Because first fear got consumed. It got consumed. God, he wants to help us. I am afraid, y'all. I'm not ashamed. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. I, in the natural, am afraid. Number one, I'm afraid of letting God down. Number two, I'm afraid of what man is going to say, because I don't like to be the focal point. Do you? I don't. But we're making Jesus the focal point. They can try to make us the focal point if they want to, but we're going to reflect everything back on the Lord. Because it has nothing to do with us. Amen? So we've got to step into that fire and let fear be consumed. And we'll allow the fire to change us. And God's going to give us a voice. A voice. Amen? A voice that will cause others to be set on fire. Now you think about this. Here's all of this group of people. And 3,000 out of this group of people, they hear that and they catch on fire. Now, you know what the word was. The word on the street was, boy, we just had a rough time. You should have seen what they done to that Jesus. But the fire was so powerful that it burned away all fear, all dread. And they said, I don't know what happened there, but I know that something is calling me. Something is pulling me. Something that is greater than what I see and feel out here, but I feel it in here. And I want it. Amen? And all of a sudden, that fire that come out of heaven into this group of people who said, I'll burn up for you, Lord. It causes the start of what you and I are a part of tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's what you and I have got to know. And I don't know why I'm saying this, because I'm saying this to somebody. Put in 1 Peter 1:6. 1 Peter 1:6. You're going through something tonight. You're going through something. But I want you to tell you that the fire that the devil has, it will not stop the fire of what God's going to do. 1 Peter 1:6. Peter says, wherefore you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Somebody in this place tonight, you're going through the word manifold, old Anglo-Saxon word motley, you're going through various colored temptations. Come on, Blue Monday, Black Friday, all these things of life. You're going through those things. Verse number 7. But here's what God says about the fire that the devil's bringing into you. The trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Your faith is being put on trial by the devil. Amen? But you've been dealt the measure of faith from God, so it's greater than anything the devil can do, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. Now, how do we get pure gold? Put it through the fire, right? And the old thing was the way that they used to get pure fire, pure gold, pardon me, when they kept purifying it, burning the dross out, that you know the story very well. The guy, the refiner that was purifying it, he would look down in the gold. And when he could see his face, it was 24 karat. It was pure gold. He could see a reflection of himself. Jesus wants you to know that when you go through trials and the trying of your faith, the devil's trying to destroy you. But when people look at you, they see the face of Jesus. They don't see the refiner of the devil. They see the refiner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, knowing what he's talking about, he's not just writing outside of what he's thought about. He's writing to you and I tonight from experience, because he went through that. And he said, though your faith be tried with fire, he said it's going to be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Everything you're going through tonight, know that it's for the glory of God, and all it's going to do is burn the dross out of your life. It's going to change you. Amen? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so God's fire is a consuming fire. It's a changing fire. But it's a challenging fire. Go with me to the Old Testament. Wait a minute. Before I do that, why does God want you and I to be consumed? Why does He want us to be changed? Why does He want us to be challenged? Because, Brother Ryan, put Exodus 1:8. Exodus 1:8 on the screen. The children of Israel, they are in Egypt. And look what the scripture says. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Now this is where we're at in the world today. We're raising up a government, leaders who do not know God. They don't know the God of our ancestry. They don't know the God for where the United States of America was founded upon. And so you and I, we're going to have this consuming fire, this changing fire, this challenging fire, to be able to cause them to know. Because right now, the United States of America and the world, we're in a tipping point. If we don't get the people saved now, well, we have a chance. Listen now, by the Spirit of God, there is coming strong persecution. We're not going to have church like we have it. If you and I don't reach this generation, if we don't bring the truth to them, if we don't get them in a place and a position, this, as we know it, is going to be flipped upside down. You're going to be not just the minority, you're going to be the persecuted minority. And so there's a generation, there's people, there's lawmakers that's being raised up that don't know God, and they're wanting to do their own way. But you and I, we need to stand up and say, this is what God says. Judges 2:10. Judges 2:10, Brother Ryan. There's a generation that was gathered to the fathers. In other words, the generation of God, they passed on. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. That's where we're at. People don't know that your God can heal. They don't know that your God can save. They don't know that your God can deliver. They don't know, because they are spiritually, and when I say this, I mean it the way the Apostle Paul said, they're spiritually ignorant. And that word simply means they don't know. They don't know. And so it's our job. That's why God raised up that church in the book of Acts to bring forth Jesus Christ to a group of people where they could come to the knowledge of the truth. You and I, we need to work the works of God. Jesus said, night's coming when no man, no woman, no boy, no girl can work. And so, but he said, while it's day, let's do what God called us to do. Amen? And so there's a generation out there that they don't know, but God is dependent upon you and I to get that truth to them. Amen? Okay. So let's look at the challenging part. Go over here to the book of Exodus. Moses is getting in a place with God where he can see the will and the plan of God, and he can bring it forth. Exodus chapter 24, verse number 15. Exodus 24, verse number 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. I don't want to aggravate people, but I'm telling you, this is a type of you and I coming back to Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We're in the sixth day. The seventh day is almost here. The seventh day is the millennial reign of Christ. And when this sixth day, when 6,000 years of human history, when it ends, that's when the door of grace is going to be shut, and you're either saved or you're not. You're either going to be in heaven or you're not. And so we need to be in the place where we're like Moses, where we're waiting on God, and we're ready to hear him call us. Because the world is going to call, the devil is going to call. But the church has a voice that they listen to that Jesus said was only for his sheep. Remember? John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice. And another they won't listen to. And he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud the seventh day. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring what? That's that same word, devouring. It's the same word as consuming. The consuming fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Verse 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and get him. He ascended up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. God was bringing Moses up. Because as he brought Moses up into that place and the fire was there, then we go back in history, he was going to bring him to a place where he could bring truth to the people about the fire. See, you cannot know the deeper things of God. I cannot know the deeper things of God unless we allow the fire to burn the fear away, to burn the external away, to consume all of that. Where it changes us, where then thus we can accept the challenge. Because if God gives you and I truth, and we do not accept the challenge of it, we're responsible for it. So be careful what you ask for. Because if you have revelation of it, then you have responsibility. And there's some things that we need to step up, because God has brought revelation to us, and we are responsible. But he'll meet us where we're at. So here Moses is. He's in this place. And God's fixing to send him down with a revelation of the fire that will bring challenge. 25 and 1. Exodus 25 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of some people. Of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and here's their heart, that they give it willingly. With his or her heart, you shall take my offering. See, the challenge that comes to us after we've been consumed and after we've been changed is that God shows us what's in our life that we can give that we never understood it was God's. Now, You know, we've been so bent and twisted by the world. When we read this immediately, we grab our billfold and we put a lock on it. And it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with everything that God has entrusted us with to be stewards over. This is the offering that he's talking about. This is the things that God has gave us that is that part of that unspeakable gift that God wants to bring out of us. Now here, remember, the Old Testament is written for our admonition, our learning. It's a type. It's an ensample. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us about that we have to put into practice. So God is fixing to reveal to them what he's gave to them in the natural to bring forth what you and I need to see tonight in the spiritual. Okay? So here, after Moses got in this place of this fire, he comes down with this challenging revelation. And he says, I want you to cause every person to see that they've got something to give. You know why people don't do more things for God? Because they don't think they can do it. But you can do it tonight. You can do whatever God lays on your heart. It doesn't matter what it is. And somebody else may not understand it. But don't you let that put the fire out. You hold on to what God's told you, and you be cautious who you share it with, and you share it with somebody that is on fire too. And it'll come forth. Amen? All right, stay with me. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold, silver, brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skin dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, whichever, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. Now think about that. Everybody has something to give that was different. And everything that everybody gave was a part of the perfect building of God. See, you've got a song, you've got a witness, you've got a testimony, you've got a word, you've got a ministry inside the body of Christ. And it is, you're giving that back to the Lord, and nobody can give what you're giving because God gave it to you to give back to Him. And we're going to document that. Stay with me, because I want you tonight to be so encouraged with what God is getting ready to do through you that it's going to blow your ever-living natural mind. Notice why this giving is taking place. Verse number 8. And let them make me a what? A sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now what is 1 Corinthians 3:16? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You are the temple. You are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, the living God. When we come together and we give those things that God has gave unto us, those giftings of the unspeakable gift, that builds the temple. That builds the body of Christ in the earth. And that causes the people on the outside to be able to see what they need. See, everything that has been fried in your life and has been through the fire, it's pure and it's holy, and it's a witness, it's a testimony to those who are on the outside hurting, and they're looking for something that's real and genuine, and they look to the church, and they've looked in the past, and it wasn't there, but it's going to be there in this generation. And it's going to be in you. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe that you have what they need, and it's been made pure. See, what I had to offer before, I wanted to give it to them, but it wasn't pure. It might have helped in a carnal way, in a small way, for a short period of time. But because of the fire of God, now it's right. Now it's real. And now it can minister to them in a way that only God knows how, that will forever change them. And you're building the sanctuary. You're building this. You're bringing the temple of God to earth, which brings the will of God to earth. Amen? Now let's look at some things. I want you to get excited with me now. Hallelujah. Go with me to Exodus chapter, I think it's about 13. Let's turn over here and see. Exodus chapter 12. God is fixing to use Moses to bring the children out of Egypt. How many delivered we got here tonight? Come on, I'm delivered. Hallelujah. Now here's what God has got to get in our hearts tonight. Verse number 35, Exodus 12:35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. See, we'll never be and do what God wants us to do unless we do what he tells us to do. Amen? And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they took part of the Passover. That's Jesus. When you take part of Passover, when you take part of that's Jesus. Amen? That brings everything possible. That they went and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. Sounds kind of like their offering, doesn't it? And the Lord gave, verse 36, and the Lord gave people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, let's get this in our heart just for a minute. I want you to see something. And you have to hear this by the Spirit of God. This is so real. It is so powerful. And if you'll receive tonight, it's going to change your life. Amen? I want you to look. There's 430 years of people that have been held in bondage. 430 years. That's daddy. That's grandpa. That's great-grandpa. That's great-great-grandpa. Come on, let's go on back. That's mama. Grandmama, great-grandma, all of these been held in bondage, and they served the devil. They didn't want to, but they were made to serve him, and God sent a deliverer. And the deliverer come and brought them out, and when he brought them out, he said, I trust you with their whole inheritance. I'm going to pay you what they earned because I know you'll give it back to me. I'm going to give it to you. 430 years worth of salary that was laid upon a generation because they were ready to do the will and the work of God. Come on now, tonight, you and I, we have what we need. We have the gifting of God. We have the plan of God. And we have the fundamental provision from heaven to be able to meet every need. Colossians 2:15, Brother Ryan. Colossians 2:15, the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is what we're talking about tonight. This is what is happening here in Exodus. This is what Jesus done. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it in the cross. Now, what did he do? He spoiled principalities. He went and got everything that the devil had. And he brought it back. Now he's giving it to you and I, just like Moses gave it to the children of Israel. The devil has nothing. We have the keys of hell, death in Jesus and the grave. But everything that the devil had took from God's people, God is wanting to pour it out in this last generation. He said in the last generation, there is going to be a double anointing. There's going to be the former rain and the latter rain. All the Holy Ghost that was in the early church, and then the Holy Ghost is going to take to bring in the harvest that Brother Corey was teaching about that's white right now. A double anointing to do. That's why Elisha had a double anointing of what Elijah had. He had it to what? It was a type of fulfilling and finishing what God had started. Tonight, you and I, we're a group of people. And here we are. We have the promise and the provision. You can give whatever needs to be gave because God's going to give it to you. Tonight, you need to say, God, I have the words in my tongue. I have the wisdom in my heart. I have the love by the Holy Spirit. I have the liberty, because where your spirit is, there's liberty. I have freedom. I have victory. I have all of these things. I have what the world is hungry and looking for, what they're needing, because you said I did. All right, now, let's nail this. Let's nail this right shut in our lives. Go with me to the book of Genesis. Look what God told Abraham. Now, in I think it's about Genesis 15 or something. Let's see. Genesis chapter 15, you got Abram giving an offering to the Lord, a sacrifice to the Lord. And the devil came and tried to mess up that sacrifice, but he couldn't do it. And so with that sacrifice come revelation. And look what God starts talking to him in verse 13, Genesis 15, 13. Genesis 15, 13. And he, God, said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. We know the total was really 430 years, but he's rounding it off. But what's he saying? He's telling Abram ahead of time where he can what? He can have something to hold on to. And he could pass this word on. Now notice what he says. Get excited with me. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. The devil has already been judged for everything he's done against you. Everything he's doing against God's people. Amen? Now look. And afterwards shall they come out with a little bit. That's your God. Before they ever went down there, God had a plan for them to come out with great riches. So everything the devil has told you that has messed your life up, that has limited you and hindered you, has been a stumbling block, an obstacle, it does not matter what the world calls it. All it is an avenue for you to be paid from the cross of Jesus Christ. That's yours tonight. And God knew it before you ever went through. 400 years before they ever thought about going into that place, God gave the revelation to Abram. And then God performed His word. Where's that at? Jeremiah what? God hastens to perform His word. He hastens. He hurriedly performs. You can count on it. You can bank on it. Jeremiah 1:12 or something maybe. God, He will perform it. That's why you've got to stand on a word in every situation. Amen? So tonight, here you are. You're in a place and a position where you're seeing the power of the fire of God revealing the gift that is inside of you. The gift is that God wants you to know that whatever you have in your life that He's calling you to give, there's an anointing on it. There's a power on it. And can you imagine that if you add all those things together that the children of Israel gave there that we was reading in Exodus 25, you can put a calculator to it and convert it to today's currency, and it would be $13 million. A group of people who had went down into bondage and had nothing, and they come out and they gave God $13 million. Now, why do I say it? Because we got to get to something that we can understand. Just you and I talking. There's 12 tribes. Unless you talk about Ephraim and Manasseh and you take away Dan because of idolatry, 13 tribes, everyone had an equal amount to give. See, the devil says, I don't have what other people have. He may not talk to you that way, but he does to me. So he says, won't you just go over and sit down? Somebody else can do it. See, I need to hear this. I don't know about you, but I need to know that my gift is just as important as somebody else's. Come on now. Tonight, inside of you is an unspeakable gift. But it'll only come out if we'll do what the revelation of Paul tells us to do. Span the flames. Fan the flames. Stir that gift up. Can I go just a little bit further? Go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Now remember, there was great turmoil. Luke 24. There was great turmoil when they killed Jesus. The disciples, they scattered. Jesus done told them ahead of time. What did He say? He said, you smite the shepherd, the sheep will what? They'll scatter. So He knew ahead of time. So that's what happens. And in Luke 24, look at verse number 13. Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus means warm springs. What did Jesus say? He said, I want you to be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I will spew you out. Right? All right. So let's get that in our heart. They went towards this warm springs. They lost their fire. and which was about 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they talked together about all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, notice what happens, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. See, when you and I start talking about Jesus, where Jesus said where two or three were, me and Larry had a prayer party right here yesterday where it is the same as if we'd had a whole house full, amen? Because you and Jesus are make a majority. No matter where you're at, what you're doing, you make a majority. And so here they are. They start talking about Jesus, and Jesus shows up. If we want Jesus to show up, all we have to do is talk about him. Let's brag on him a little bit. Let's tell the world what he has done, what he has done, finished for them. Amen? So they start talking about it, and let's see what happens. Drop down, because we won't take time, but you read this in your home study time. Drop down to verse 31. They're talking to the Lord, and the Lord's talking to them. And it says in verse 31, and their eyes were opened. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And this is after he broke bread with them. He took the bread and he broke it, and they partook of it, and their eyes were opened. Now, this word opened is a Greek word, and it means literally to open as firstborn. In other words, this is where they got saved. These two got born again. Hallelujah. Because why? Because they were reasoning. They were talking back and forth. The fire was there, and the one who brings the fire, Jesus, he met them. Amen? Now look, the fire was so strong. Look what it says, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts what? Burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened up to us, or opened to us the scriptures. Now, the fire burned so strong. Now, remember, they were afraid for their life. They left Jerusalem because they were afraid for their life. And look what happens. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. Now, they just walked all day. They'd then been through a traumatic emotional experience. They're wore out emotionally. They're wore out physically. But because they got close to the fire. I can't sit down. I can't lay down. I've got to go back because there's somebody who needs to hear what I just found out. Amen? Amen. They said, I've got somebody back in Jerusalem. I've got other people that I've been walking with Jesus with. They don't know what I know. Amen? And so look what it says. And so they rose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem and they found the 11 gathered together with them that were with them. In other words, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. They had a message. They had a message to say. And they told him, verse 35, what things were done in the way and how he was made known of them in the breaking of bread. When you and I, when we partake of communion, when we break this bread, this is the bread. When we open this Bible, break the binding of this Bible and open it up. Jesus is going to show up and you're going to know things that otherwise you would never know. Amen? It's in you. It's in me. We have to open it up. And so they did that. And look what happens. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace. Said, peace. Why would we think that if we go and do what the Lord tells us to do, that he's not going to show up? Witness after witness, you talk about Jesus, he shows up. He shows up. And so here they are. That fire was so strong that it consumed them, their fears, their worries, their anxieties. It changed them, and then it challenged them to go to where the need was. All they could think about was they wanted somebody else to know what they know. And because of this, the rest of them, they get to go and be a part of that promise of Acts chapter 1. See, if we want God's promises to be revealed to people, we've got to tell them about it. And we've got to get them in a place and a position to receive Jesus. He wants to save everybody. But he has to work through you. He has to work through me because that's the way he set it up. See, he gave this earth to you. Now, when that last second on that 6,000th year, when that strikes midnight, when it strikes midnight and the lease goes out, then the earth is the Lord's again. And for that 1,000 years, he's going to have what he wanted with Adam and Eve in the beginning. But in the meantime, you and I, we're to own this earth. We're to present the gospel. The devil doesn't own anything. But I've got to live like it. And I need your help to be able to do it. Amen? We need each other. When I'm burning a little lean, a little cold, don't pull away from me. Get up close to me. Sometimes we try to push each other away. But let's just work through love in that. Amen? Let's pull each other closer. And let's see the flesh, fear, the anxiety. Let's see it gone. Let's see the change. And then let's accept the challenge. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you made this an intimate setting. You made this just family, Father, where we could be in a place and a position where we could hear your truth. I ask you right now, let every revelation that's pertinent to each individual but is essential to this congregation, let these words, let them come into our heart and bring faith like never before. Let us operate out of this new revelation, Lord, and let us step forward and allow you to be glorified. And let's see the harvest brought in. Let it be. Let it be right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Do whatever needs to be done in our life. We give you permission. Lord, help us to fan that flame. Help us to meet you. And if we'll meet you, we'll be forever changed. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and let's just all spend some time with the Lord and let him just reveal what he would speak to you tonight. Let him just set different areas of your life on fire, rekindle some things, bring new revelation, new understanding, where we can step forward as a group of people like never before. Would you come? I'm telling you, God has opened up this convey of hope and he's given us favor. With another church, you know, that doesn't necessarily believe exactly as we do, but he's put us together where we can do some mighty things. We're going to do like Jesus did. We're going to feed the hungry. We're going to be able to clothe the poor, even though we don't have the finances in ourselves, but Jesus does. Amen? And we're going to be able to meet the needs, the natural needs, where then we can meet the spiritual needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.